fly ball. Deep left. There it goes! Soaring into history! He's done it! He has done it! 62! Aaron Judge is the American League single-season home run leader. The AL King. Case closed.
It's a big relief. You know, I think everybody can finally sit down in their seats and watch the ball game. You know, it's been a fun ride so far, getting a chance to do this with the team we got, the guys surrounding me, you know, the constant support, you know, from my family who's been with me there through this whole thing. It's been a great honor, you know, and also Roger Maris Jr., you know, him and his family, you know, supporting and being along for the ride too. A lot of thanks and congratulations to them too for their constant support through this whole process, because I know it's a tough situation, you know, your dad's legacy, and you want to uphold that, but, you know, getting a chance to meet their family, they're wonderful people, and, you know, getting a chance to have my name next to, you know, someone as great as Roger Maris, Babe Ruth, those guys is incredible.
Aaron Judge, at the age of 30, the home run champion of all time in the American League, with his 62nd home run last night, passing Roger Maris, who held that record for, well, 61 years. That's what it was, 61 years. So it's kind of ironic how that all worked out. Roger Maris Jr. and his wife are attending the game. And I had predicted going into the last seven games, whatever it was, that Baltimore wouldn't let him get it, and that the Rangers, he'd get it down there, because the Rangers are not in the division, they're not a rival, they'll pitch to him, the ball kind of flies out of that ballpark. And first at bat, lead off in the second game, doubleheader, he gets number 62. There have been so many cut-ins on Judge, well, is he going to do it? And there are people have made fun of this now on social media with some of the greatest plays of all time in sports, and then cutting in is whether or not Judge usually takes a walk, and you miss these great, you know, moments in time of sporting events that's been made fun of. And I get it. It had taken Judge quite some time after getting to 61 to get to 62, and I'm sure he is relieved to have that monkey off his back and now just focus on one more game today, and then the Yankees will get ready for the playoffs. And as I mentioned, Aaron Judge's 62 homers are now alone for the seventh most in a single season in Major League Baseball history. Some people saying that is the all-time home run king. More on that in a moment. We're going to come back to that because I think it's an interesting discussion, and I do love how people state things as if it were fact, but it's merely your opinion. And that's what people do in society today. We do it in politics. We see something on social media, take it to be true. Sometimes we twist what we see and read and somehow twerk it to make it to where you think it's a fact, but you're just fooling yourself. And there are people that want to say that Aaron Judge is the all-time home run champion, which is not true. Not true. It might be in your mind, but it's funny how adults are no better than kids sometimes. Like, when we were playing the other night, my youngest and I, we were out playing hockey. Got these little old plastic hockey sticks, kid set, with a ball, okay, on the driveway. And so we're playing to five, right? And it's tied 4-4. Next goal wins. And boom, I win. I get it. And you know what he does? We're going to six. And as adults are no different.
Or you got to win by two, right?
Like, yeah, right.
I don't care what you said. You got to win by two.
Right. And
go to six.
And then I say, well, we said we were going to five. No, we didn't. We're going to six. This is no different than adults. It's like, well, that's Barry Bonds holds the all-time record. No, he doesn't. But he does. But I didn't agree to it. Nobody cares and gives 2 cents whether you agree to it or not. That is the record. It's right there. There's no asterisk next to it. You can put your imaginary asterisk next to it all you want. And as I said, if you're going to be beating your chest all over the place about how Aaron Judge is now the all-time home run champion in Major League Baseball history in a single season, and you say that all the guys ahead of him cheated or took performance-enhancing drugs and steroids and everything else, and you're so against cheating, then where the hell is your petition to get the Perry brothers out of the Hall of Fame? Where is your petition? And trust me, it's just not the Perry brothers that cheated that are in Major League Baseball. You know, and then they say, well, you know, we got to put an asterisk next to Bonds. Well, should we put an asterisk next to Babe Ruth? He didn't have to play against black players. He didn't have to play against black players. He didn't have to play against the greatest athletes in the world in baseball. He didn't have to. He didn't. He played against all white people. That's what he did. And should it be asterisk next to Babe Ruth because they didn't have as many teams in the league at the time? You know, we talk about Bill Russell being the best. Everybody talk about Jordan and LeBron being the best basketball player of all time. Bill Russell has way more championships than both of them. He has more than those two combined.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Russell only played, they only had 16 teams back then or whatever. Are you putting an asterisk by it? Is that what you're saying? So you want to ignore history. You want to ignore that Russell won 11 titles. Well, he wasn't that great of a player. He won 11 titles. 11. Yeah, but he had this great team around him. So you're putting imaginary asterisk just to make your argument. And just because you have an opinion and that's your asterisk doesn't mean that it's actually acknowledged by the people that actually run the sport you're complaining about. Major League Baseball has acknowledged, and it is a fact, that Barry Bonds hit the most home runs of any player in Major League Baseball history. The record is 73. Second is Maguire at 70, Sosa's 66, Maguire at 65, Sosa's 64, Sosa's 63, and Aaron Judge at 62. Listen, I understand that you want to believe that Aaron Judge is perfectly clean, and I believe he is, and I hope he is. I want to believe Albert Pujols is perfectly clean and has 703 home runs. But what are you going to say if we find out Aaron Judge cheated? Suddenly you won't hear from those Yankee fans and these other people that are these so-called traditionalists. They will go into a hole so fast it'll make your head spin. They won't say anything. They won't go, oh, nope, that'll be it. And will they suddenly go, well, Roger Maris now should be acknowledged as the all-time home run champion? More than likely they won't. So it is very, 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 very convenient to make up your own rules, just like my 8-year-old does in the driveway. So adults, you're no better than a second or third grader, first grader, preschool, kindergartner. You're not any better than those little kids that change the rules because you do the same thing in regards to your political beliefs. You swap them all the time to make it work. Well, I've always said this before. If you actually put a blind resume of something about two candidates, right, Democrat and Republican, if you put a blind resume with KU football versus the other top 20 teams, KU would be ranked higher than 19. K-State would be ranked probably higher than 20. All right. If you did the blind stuff and actually looked at the resume but didn't know what the name was at the top, if you didn't know this was a Democratic candidate or a Republican candidate, you might be surprised who you might vote for if you knew actually where they stood on the issues, but you didn't know who had the elephant and the donkey next to them.
Right.
Or whatever it is. Yeah. You know?
And on that point, when we talk about how people shouldn't act, I want to highlight the way one person does act the way he should. Hank Aaron, who has every right
to complain about
this, that, or the other, or say this shouldn't count, or this. He has every opportunity to say something like that for his own good, but has actually said, well, he won't admit that he did it, because sure. And he probably didn't. But he has said people in his era, which is considered a clean era,
mm-hmm.
took greenies, or what are called greenies, or what is like an amphetamine uh-huh. Type thing to help people recover from working out, give them more energy before the games, stuff like that. Again, it's not necessarily steroids, but mm-hmm. it's also, a performance-enhancing drug.
Right.
So he's admitted his era mm-hmm. took those,
sure.
And so if you're going to wipe out this era, you have to wipe out that era, and if you are going to do this, you have to do that, and so he didn't say he took them, but I don't think he did. He didn't sure. say we don't think he did, and that's the thought process there. But
is caffeine a performance enhancing drug?
I don't think caffeine on its own is. But
I don't know. There's a lot of people that get up in the morning and they get their coffee. They got to have it. I take an energy drink. It's not the Red Bull or whatever it is, but I have a deal that makes me get a little more energy and a little more pep in my step. I know Dusty does as well. I know a lot of people that drink Red Bulls and this and this and whatever else. Now, you might have a crash, but you got this burst of energy.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that a performance-enhancing drug?
Technically, by the letter of the rule, yeah.
You know, I've always heard, Maguire and Sosa, what they did in Bonds, they hit the ball further. Does that actually improve your hand-eye coordination? Nobody's proven that.
Not yet.
Now, granted, when you hit the ball, it might go farther. That helps you hit home runs. I get that part, but does it help your hand-eye coordination? I have no idea. I would argue that if you're able to take something that you have 2 or 3 hours of sleep and you take some kind of drug that somehow gives you a burst of energy because you like to party all night long and you don't get it the proper amount of sleep, that enhances your performance because thus it keeps you awake, keeps you alert so that you can hit the ball out of the ballpark or hit the ball in general. I could argue that. See, we could go on forever with this stuff, like performance-enhancing drugs. The euphoria of getting together with a Babe Ruth fraternized, all right? Let's just say that, okay? All right? I don't know if alcohol is an enhancing, performance-enhancing drug or not. Usually it's not. But Babe Ruth, you know, drank his share of stuff. Every era is different. It's not fair to compare era to era, but every era was different. So if you're going to put an asterisk on Bonds and all these other people, that's fine. I get it. But you also could put an asterisk on this era as well, that there's more weightlifting, there's more supplements that are legal that you take that once were illegal. Like, things have changed over the years. Some stuff that was illegal before is now legal to take. All you got to do is look at weed across the country. Look at sports betting across the country. Things that were all, oh, you're never going to see any kind of gambling stuff during football games on the NFL or Major League Baseball. Now, they're trading partners, advertising partners. Things change over time. And so Andro is something McGuire took. He admitted he took it. It was legal to take in Major League Baseball. It was not banned by Major League Baseball. There was nothing against it. So it is interesting, the revisionist history that people have. And yes, Major League Baseball turned a blind eye to, you know, basically letting people do whatever they basically needed to do, because that home run chase between McGuire and Sosa and then Bonds going nuts obviously helped baseball come out of the conundrums and the doldrums because of the strike and all this other stuff. I get all that. But my thing is, it's very, very, very convenient that your player on your favorite team, or if you're that is your favorite team, or if you simply don't like Barry Bonds, or you don't like Mark McGuire, and you just lump them all together. And I've said this before, and Dusty said this before, why is David Ortiz in the Hall of Fame? Yep. He got suspended for PEDs. Why is he allowed to be in, but Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit and Rafael Palmeiro and all these other guys are not voted in? And I'll tell you something. I don't think it has as much to do with the PED stuff as people want to say. It's about popularity. It's about media people. That Barry Bonds was surly. He did not get along with the media. Mm-hmm. He was a DI, you know what? People didn't like Barry Bonds. Mark McGuire was not media friendly until very at the end a little bit, right? He was not a warm and fuzzy guy that you wanted to talk to. All right, Sammy Sosa was the one guy I would say that was really cool, and then the media turned on him so fast and hard, and it was weird because I thought they turned harder on him mainly because I think they felt duped because he was such a nice guy that was friendly and talked to the media. Alice Rodriguez wasn't the most friendly guy in the media, okay? That's been documented in you look at the Jeter series. A-Rod had some times where he would talk, sometimes too much, but A-Rod wasn't the Ken Griffey Jr. honestly was okay with the media, but he wasn't like unbelievable with the media. Aaron Judge has handled things professionally. He has not, you know, brought attention to himself. He doesn't go around the base paths beating his chest and, you know, taking this long stare when he hits the ball out of the park. I commend Aaron Judge for doing it the right way, although that's my opinion. But I think a lot of this has to do with David Poppy was loved. David Poppy was loved. Big Poppy. How can you not love this guy? And I think some of this revisionist history is, well, these guys, they took all this performance-enhancing drugs, they cheated, so that's why they got these records. And yes, there's something to it. I'm not going to lie to you about that. But at the same time, why is one guy in and other guys aren't? Well, he only got busted once?
Right.
I mean, I don't remember. Did Andy Pettit?
None of these guys got busted at all.
Exactly. I was just going to say, when was Andy Pettit, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire, and Sammy Sosa suspended for taking PEDs?
They weren't.
But David Ortiz was.
And another just food for thought thing, the actual list, that Mitchell Report list or whatever, that had a list of, I think it was around 40 to 50 players. It was split pretty much down the even of pitchers and hitters. So we get all riled up about the hitting because a couple of records got broken. But at least that list kind of makes you think that maybe along all of baseball, it was also kind of split between pitchers and hitters. So if one side of the coin is doing it, so is the other side of the coin. And couldn't you argue at least that that evens out just a little bit? I mean, that's just food for thought. I mean, it's definitely an argument to have. I don't know if it makes it any better or worse, but it's just, you're right. It is so hard to compare eras. It makes it fun for like this situation. It makes it fun for the sports ticket. But I kind of wish baseball would just come out and say, "Hey, this is what we're gonna do. Barry Bonds is the home run leader," or "Those steroid guys are completely out." They have to almost go one way or the other, and then we can all follow suit. But then we get this. The record holders, it's still in the record book. Barry Bonds is still the home run leader in the records book, okay. But he can't go to the Hall of Fame because writers who vote on that have their own opinion on stuff. And then it just makes for this this mix-up that we don't like, that we hate. If you're the home run leader, you got to be in the Hall of Fame. That's just that's the way it goes. That's the way it should go. But we're letting too many people with their own opinions, come up with decisions, and that's just not quite right. It's got to be through Major League Baseball.
David Ortiz served a 10-game suspension and failed a steroids test.
Yeah.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens isn't. Andy Pettit isn't. Rafael Palmeiro isn't. Sammy Sosa isn't. Barry Bonds isn't.
Manny Ramirez.
Mark McGuire. Manny Ramirez. Of course, you can go one step further. Pete Rose isn't. Right. I'm not talking about a tie in the steroids,
home
but it's
leader should be in the Hall of Fame. Your hit leader should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, your home run, your all-time home run leader for the history of the game, and the single season home run record guy, and other guys that are got the Hall of Fame numbers are not in the Hall of Fame. And Pete Rose, the all-time hit leader, is not in the Hall of Fame. And nothing he did while he played was illegal that we're aware of. Mm-hmm. And I've always been like, I don't care if you're the biggest prick that ever lived on the face of the earth, maybe the worst person in the world, and yes, you might even committed a crime, like many people believe OJ did, and he's still an NFL Hall of Fame because he was acquitted, of course. There are all kinds of people that have gone on to jail or prison or served time that actually have been either in some kind of Hall of Fame in some kind of place, and it's just convenient. There's no consistency to it. And so if you are all about the cheaters, then you need to be demanding that David Ortiz come out of the Hall of Fame. And if you're okay with David Ortiz being in the Hall of Fame, then you can't be against these other guys that should be in, because Ortiz got busted. These other guys, honestly, technically, didn't get suspended ever during their career. Most of those guys we mentioned, maybe there's a few that did. And I think it's just very convenient.
A-Rod would be at the top of the list that did. Being blackballed, if you want to call it that right now.
I wouldn't say blackballed. Yeah. He's making tons of money as a baseball analyst covering Major League Baseball. Pete Rose is the one that's shut out.
Pete's being blackballed by baseball in general. Sure. But as far as the Hall of Fame talk that we're talking about by the writers, that A-Rod's going to be at the top of that list of guys that have actually been caught doing it and have served time because of doing it.
Right.
And my biggest thing on it is if y'all are that worried about it, then you should probably be asking baseball to give all the money back to the fans that they took during the home run chase of every year, whatever year it was. And because, it was still popular when Barry Bonds did it, right?
Absolutely.
But, we talk about the year that Sosa and McGuire were going at it and really helped revitalize the game. So if you're that worried about it, maybe you should tell Major League Baseball they should give all their money back that they got from it. So, listen, I don't feel sorry for anybody there. And I recognize every home run that was ever hit in this league.
Listen, right now, when you got on the all-time home run list for careers, A-Rod is fifth now because Pujols passed him. A-Rod is fifth. Sosa is ninth with 609. McGuire is 11th with 583. Rafael Palmeiro is 13th with 569. Manny Ramirez is 15th with 555. David Ortiz with 541. So less homers than all those guys. He's in. And these other guys are out. And I think there's a lack of consistency there. And it's convenient to say, oh, well, now this guy's the home run leader of all time. Well, that's okay, well, go to the record book. There is no asterisk there.
That's just like your opinion, dude.
Yes, it's your opinion. It's not a fact. And when you state it on social media as a fact, okay, that's just, come on.
If the ball,
you're not the commissioner of baseball, okay? You live in north central Kansas. You live in northeastern Kansas. You live in Oklahoma. You're a fan of the Yankees. You're in New York City or Boston, wherever the heck it is. You're not the commissioner. You don't unilaterally just expect to say, I woke up today and I decided Aaron Judge is the all-time home run champion. No, he's the American League home run champion of all time. The American League, not Major League Baseball. Now, if Major League Baseball comes around and they find out all this evidence, or they want to acknowledge that it was a whole bunch of cheating, and they actually want to say, we're going to put asterisks next to every one of those guys, then yes, Aaron Judge is the all-time home run leader. And technically, we don't know. I don't say he is taking anything, but honestly, how many times did we saw all these guys and say, well, they may be on something, they may not be on something. There's still people that think Pujols might have been on something or still is on something. How can a guy at 42 hit 23 home runs? Well, why can't you say Aaron Judge? Aaron Judge, 62 home runs out of nowhere.
Right.
What's going on? Now, I know his head didn't balloon like Barry Bonds, but how? I mean, maybe his body fat went from 7.3 to 2.2, and that's the why he hit so many home runs. I mean, maybe he is doing something. Maybe it's all legal supplements that were illegal before that are helping him now. Maybe nothing's helping him. It's just God-given ability and work ethic. But it is interesting. We act like we know it all, and we have no idea.
To me, Sosa, McGuire, Bonds have all been in pennant races and all this stuff. And I'm sure along the way, one of those guys hit a home run, whether it be a solo or two or three, whatever it is, that was the only runs of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the ball went over the wall, they put it on the scoreboard. And if the scoreboard said that at the end of the game, they put it in the standings as a win. So how can you not count the home run if everything else, the score counted, the win counted, the division championship they won because of that win counted? If those count, then the actual act of scoring the run has to count, and that's the home run. And to me, so to me, it's like, Major League Baseball has to, at some point, just has to say, we're allowing this or we're disallowing this. I don't know where the line...
Well, they obviously have. Right. I mean, they're not going to go back and put asterisks next to these guys. They clearly have made a decision. It's like, well, we allowed it to happen, and it happened, and these are the records.
And I think, they have to say... And I think they have to find a way to say, hey, you know, Bonds, McGuire, Sosa, we're baseball. Major League Baseball, we're putting you in the Hall of Fame, and tough... Yeah.
Well, it's not on Major League Baseball per se. It's on the baseball writers in regards to who you put in the Hall of Fame. And they're the ones that got to answer these questions. And my first question to anybody that voted for David Ortiz would be, and I have nothing against David Ortiz. I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
No.
What I'm saying is be consistent. If you're against all PED users or those you believe and those that weren't even suspended during their career while you think they did it or supposedly did it, but yet Ortiz was busted, like A-Rod was busted, and you're going to sit here and tell me you voted for Ortiz, I want to hear your argument on why these other guys you didn't vote for. Now, if you voted for Ortiz and you voted for Bonds and McGuire and Sosa, then at least you're consistent. But you know there's no consistency there, because if everybody was consistent with that argument, then Bonds, McGuire, and Sosa and Palmeiro and others would be in the Hall of Fame. So it's a convenient rationale. What, I like Big Poppy. He's really nice and personable, and I like his accent. No, it has nothing to do with it. This is the resume. This is what they did. You put one in, you kept others out. Answer those questions. Defend yourself, because I would like these writers to be put on a little bit of a hot seat and say, why this guy but not that guy? Why this guy but not that guy? Why not that guy but you pick this guy? Like, why is that? Because there is no consistency to it, and that's what drives me insane. If you want to keep all the cheaters out, fine. I'm all with you. I'm with you. If you want to keep McGuire and Sosa and Bonds, you want to keep them all out, Manny Ramirez, fine. Then let's go ahead and take out Ortiz. And if you want to take out all the cheaters, let's take out the Perry brothers or the Negro brothers. I said Perry brothers. Negro brothers. I misspoke earlier. Gaylord Perry cheated too. Take out Gaylord Perry, the Negro brothers. Let's go ahead and there's other people that have cheated there in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame too. I just can't come up with them off the top of my head. But there's three I can give you right off the top of my head. Four. I gave you four.
We're going to have to, like we do with the Michigan Wolverines and the UNLV basketball, we're just going to have to eliminate the Houston Astros World Series.
Yeah, the Astros cheated. We didn't strip them of a world. Why aren't people still talking about that? Why aren't we acknowledging the Dodgers are the World Series champions instead of the Astros? But nope, nobody's screaming about that right now at this moment, but we're screaming about individual guys, you know? It seems silly to me. Let's go local sports. Dusty, volleyball from last night.
Yes, quite a bit of volleyball.
Cross country,
last night.
Too.
Cross country, yes. We'll start with volleyball. The Beloit Lady Trojans, two big wins in the North Central Activities Association as they were taking on Ellsworth, who was unbeaten in the NCAA going into the night. But Beloit wins 25-22, 25-16 in match one. They won the second one 25-20 and 25-16. Lady Trojans now 7-1 in the league and 28-5 overall. Ellsworth 15-8 and 6-2 in league play. Lakeside Triangular. Lakeside beat Chase in 2 and Pike Valley in 2. And the Pike Valley beat Chase in 2 in the other match. The Lincoln Triangular. St. John's tipped them winning in 2 and 3, actually, over Lincoln, and then 2 over Wilson. The Letty Jays finished the MPL season at 10-2. They're now 22-6 overall. Lincoln beat Wilson in 2 in the other match. Sylvan Lucas is just one win away from an undefeated regular season in the Northern Plains League after 2 MPL wins last night. They beat Thunder Ridge in 2, 25-14-11, beat Southern Cloud 25-6 and 25-13. Sylvan Lucas is now 27-2 overall and 11-0 in the Northern Plains League. Their last league match will be next week against Lakeside. In the other match, they're in Sylvan Grove. Thunder Ridge beat Southern Cloud in 2 as well. Rock Hills and Natoma were playing in Natoma. Teskett was also supposed to be part of that, but they didn't have enough players to play. So Rock Hills and Natoma played a double duel. Rock Hills won the first in 3 and the second in 3. So 2 wins for the Letty Grizzlies there last night. Hill City Triangular, Osborne splits. They lost to Stockton in 2, but they beat the host Hill City in 2. And Concordia beat Wamego in 2 in both their matches in the NCKL. If you missed any of the scores or want the individual set scores for all those matches and other NCAA matches, they're all posted at ncksports.com. As Wade said, there also was cross country yesterday, the Ellsworth Invitational. The boys individual from the area, Lance Landino Beloit, finished in 4th place in the 5K, and on the girls side individually, Jenna Belucha Beloit finished in 8th place. Again, you can look at all those results, the full results from the Ellsworth Cross Country Invitational are posted as well at ncksports.com. So one other local note, coming up tonight, we have our high school football locker room chats. We'll talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge around 5:15 this evening. You can listen to those on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. And if you ever miss them live, they're always posted later after they air, and you can check them out on demand at the Locker Room Chat podcast at katycountry94.com.
Interesting. John sent me this. Is caffeine a banned substance by the NCAA? It is. Do you know that?
Is it one of those things where you can only have a certain level?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. A urinary caffeine concentration exceeding 15 micrograms per milliliter, corresponding to ingesting about 500 milligrams, the equivalent of 6 to 8 cups of brewed coffee, 2 to 3 hours before competition, results in a positive drug test. So there is a level of caffeine that is illegal and is banned. And caffeine is a drug, by the way. I love when people say, yeah, alcohol and drugs. No, alcohol is a drug.
Right.
So is caffeine. We take a lot of legal drugs.
Yeah. I got
to
think about
prescriptions that are legal drugs.
Testosterone.
We all take drugs.
Yeah. Testosterone. You can take a person could take a testosterone supplement and mm-hmm. still go out and play baseball. It's just mm-hmm. you can't take
a certain level
of it. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. I appreciate John saying that. I didn't actually know that. So that's I learned something new.
I didn't either.
That's pretty.
But
crazy.
Man, if you're consuming 500,
well, I was gonna say if you're drinking 6 to 8 cups of coffee, and that's what's gonna put you over the top, you're drinking a little too much coffee.
You should be doing that before a game anyway.
How would you be able to hit?
You gotta have a little bit of energy, but
the bat will be vibrating and shaking.
Like I'll drink a Bang when I need that energy, right? And it's like 300.
Not six of them.
Yeah, it's like 300, right? That's the max. It's like
so
3 cups of
one.
Coffee. Yeah,
yeah, you could have
yeah,
one.
You could have one and a half Monster probably or whatever, but probably wouldn't want to exceed that.
That's crazy stuff. This is fun when we bring these things up. Sometimes we learn things as well. So appreciate John passing that along. All right, we'll continue on the baseball side of things. We're finishing out the string with the Royals. We're going to talk a little Royals baseball, believe it or not, here.
Got a good jump. And Nicky pops it up. Shallow left, long run out, and a sliding attempt and a miss by Arias. And Nate Eaton never stopped running. He will score, and Nicky Lopez will go into second base.
Okay, to me, this is the story. The Royals lost last night. You may say, what story? The Royals stink. Well, they do stink. That is a fact. The Royals right now are 65-96. They lost last night 5-3. Nicky Lopez, RBI single, put them at 1-0. But what I want to talk about, Daniel Lynch. Daniel Lynch didn't go 5 innings again. Last start of the year, he's a talented left-hander for the Royals that I thought would be a number one for this team, ahead of Singer. I think he has better stuff than Singer in some cases. But he just can't put it together. And he gives up, and then he'll go like 3 or 4 innings and be cruising, and then all of a sudden it blows up in his face. He can't limit the big inning. He gave up 5 runs in the 5th inning and didn't get through the 5th. He gave up 8 hits. He walked 2. His record this year is 4-13. Here's Mike Matheny on Lynch and the improvements that are needed for him to take the next step.
To finish this last start like he did, and once again having the life, having the disposition that he had, I think that's coming a long ways. What's the next step for him? You know, he gets, and he's in the lower third of the lineup too, where he has an opportunity. He gets 0-2. He's probably got the highest percentage of 0-2 waste pitches or non-competitive pitches, and I get not wanting to get burnt 0-2, but 0-2 is turning into two, trying to make too good of a pitch, 1-2 that leads you into a tough count, 2-2 trying to make a perfect pitch still, and then you're behind the eight ball, and that's happened to him a lot. And you get back 15 pitches throughout the course of the game, and it's a big deal. It's an extra inning for you to stay deeper, you stay stronger.
Could that have anything to do with your pitching coach?
Hey, it might.
When you're up 0-2 in a count, go after a guy. I will remember this till I die. Greg Maddux was one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and Greg Maddux put it out there a few months ago, and it infuriates him. He says, why are you wasting pitches 0-2? You're good enough to get up 0-2, and now you suddenly don't trust your stuff. You get up 0-2, and now what you're going to do is run up your pitch count so that they can pull you in the fifth or sixth inning. When you're up 0-2, that's the best time to go after a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not to throw one 4 feet outside and waste it, and odds are 9 out of 10, they ain't going to chase it. And guess what? Greg Maddux had complete games where he threw 85 pitches, 90 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
He might throw 112. Greg Maddux was pitch efficient. He moved the ball around, he could locate it, and he was called a bulldog. He went after hitters. He didn't just go 0-2 and like, okay, now I'm going to waste two, and now I don't want to go 3-2. Now I'm going to finally come after you. And then what happens to Daniel Lynch is a microcosm of what happens to a lot of pitchers nowadays, because the game has changed. And I agree, Greg Maddux, I'm tired of watching it. I even see it at the high school level. I've seen it in K-18. I've seen it in all kinds of levels of baseball. It is infiltrated all types of baseball, and I don't understand it. You are good enough to get up 0-2, and now you're scared to throw a pitch in the zone, so we're going to make the guy chase. Now, I'm okay with you throw one, you know, outside a little bit. You raise it a little bit. But some of these guys are saying, throw it, catcher standing up high. Like, most people are not going to swing. Right. You're just wasting a pitch in on your arm, and then you get more fatigued, and you have a pitch count. Everybody's protective of their investments, and then the guy is done. And I'm going to give you an example. So Daniel Lynch last night, he goes 4 2/3. Daniel Lynch this year posted an ERA of 3.30 in his first six starts. Everything looked good, right? He's figured something out. He's going to be one of those top starters. He had three scoreless outings, but none of those went past six innings. In his last nine starts of the season, Daniel Lynch's record was 0-6 with an ERA of 6.34. That's not good.
No.
He finished 4-13 with an ERA of 5.13. Now, this is why I think there's hope for Daniel Lynch and why Cal Eldred needs to go. Daniel Lynch struck out 122 in 131 innings, so he's got stuff that gets guys out.
Mm-hmm.
52 walks, it's okay. But here's an amazing stat, and I'm not surprised by it, because every time Daniel Lynch starts, I'm like, oh, he went 5. He went 4 1/3. He never even get to 6. Daniel Lynch had 27 starts this year. Three more starts than Brady Singer, because Singer wasn't good enough to beat Lynch in the rotation. He was in the bullpen. Why? I have no idea. So, Daniel Lynch, 27 starts. Do you know how many of those 27 starts Daniel Lynch had that were quality starts? Out of 27.
Since you asked the question, it's going to be low.
Yes.
4.
Close. 3.
Oh.
Okay. You want to take a guess how many of his 27 starts he went 6 innings?
7.
4.
4. Oh.
Do you know how many times he threw more than 6 innings? I'm talking 6 1/3, 6 2/3, 7. You know how many times he threw over 6 innings this year?
Over 6 innings?
Mm-hmm. Threw more than 6 innings.
2.
0.
Oh.
Not one damn time did he throw more than 6 innings. I use that word for effect. I mean, that's pathetic. I mean, that is horrendous. This is part of the reason why the Royals aren't any good. We said it before. You can have Bobby Witt Jr. hitting 30 homers and 30 stolen bases. MJ Melendez can hit 30 homers. Salvi can hit 40 and 100 RBIs. And Dozier can come back to life and hit 20. And this team's going to lose a whole bunch of slugfests, because the bullpen's going to get worn out because the starting pitchers can't go very far. Listen to this now, because I did my research today. Daniel Lynch had 27 starts. 3 were quality. Never went more than 6 innings in any one of his starts. Chris Bubich, record 3-13. Lynch 4-13. We think Lynch is way better than Bubich, right? Most people do.
I higher ceiling.
I do.
Yeah. Well, for what he should be, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Lynch has got more upside,
but
more talent.
For what he is right now, no.
So Lynch, ERA of 5.13. Bubich, 5.58. Lynch struck out 122 and 131. Bubich, 110 and 129, which tells you he's not as powerful, yeah, and dominant. 63 walks. More walks. That's a little too high for Bubich. But here's the funny thing. Chris Bubich started as many games as Daniel Lynch this year, and three more than Brady Singer. Once again, I'm shaking my head. How many quality starts do you think Chris Bubich had out of 27? Lynch had three.
I'm going to say it's a little high, because I thought Bubich had a nice stretch in there in the middle of the season. I'm going to say he had eight quality starts.
Seven. Yeah. Okay. Daniel Lynch never threw over six innings. How many times do you think Bubich went past six innings out of 27 starts?
Seven.
I was going to say he did it like four, didn't he?
Two.
Two, okay.
Two. So what I'm trying to show you is Chris Bubich went deeper in games and more quality starts, twice as many quality starts as Daniel Lynch. He went seven innings two times. Lynch never got past six. Now let's go to Brady Singer, who had three less starts than both these guys. Brady Singer, 10-5 record, ERA 3.23, 150 Ks, 153 innings, which is good stuff.
Yeah.
Only 35 walks, so way better on the walks because he's going after guys apparently more, or trust his stuff more than Lynch and Bubich. How many quality starts out of 24 do you think Brady Singer had? Lynch had 3 out of 27. Bubich had 7 out of 27. Singer had 24 starts this year. How many do you think were quality?
I'm going to split it and say 12.
Okay.
Let's say 10.
14.
Yeah.
Which is very good. 16 times he went six innings or more. 16 of the 24. That is 67% of the time, which is still not great compared to back in the day, but really good today. How many times do you think he threw seven innings or more this year out of 24 starts? Brady Singer.
God, he was. Six. It seemed like he was doing it like every time there for a while.
He had a stretch there, yeah.
I'm going to say 10.
Eight. And one time he went 8 1/3. Brady Singer, in 1/3 of his starts, went at least seven innings. In 2/3 of his starts, he went at least six. Chris Bubich and Daniel Lynch combined had 10 quality starts in 54 starts. Singer had 14 in 24. Combined, Lynch and Bubich threw more than six innings twice in 54 starts. Singer did it in 16 times. And Bubich and Lynch combined to go seven innings twice. Singer went eight times. And Singer went 8 1/3 one time. So, I use this example of where the Royals need to go. Brady Singer looks to be the real deal. He did it over the course of a whole season. We hope he continues that next year. He has to, or this Royals team is really sunk.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Lynch has to be the number two guy. He has to be. There is nobody else that's ready to slide in as a number two starter. You bring Zach Greinke back next year. Okay, Zach's your four, your five. Maybe a four, maybe a three, whatever. Bubich, I'm not holding out hope that he's going to be that power pitcher. I mean, the numbers prove he's not, but no. Technically had more quality starts than Daniel Lynch and had a stretch where he was really good. Carlos Hernandez, they're still trying to figure some things out. I mean, there's all kinds of question marks with the Royals pitching staff. And so you don't want to waste Bobby Witt Jr.'s 5 years until he, you know, leaves because the Royals can't afford him. You know, you hope they work something out ahead of time, maybe. MJ Melendez, before Salvi's old and decrepit and can't play anymore. The Royals have to, in the next 2 years, next year and in 2024, they have to figure out their pitching staff. And when you got a guy like Daniel Lynch that can go 3.30 ERA in six starts and then finish 4-13 ERA over five, but yet he has 122 Ks, 131 innings, that tells me he has stuff that is, it's good stuff. He has good stuff. It's guys that can't strike people out. You go, okay, they ain't going to make it. Now, Greinke's the exception because he's so crafty, right? 64-mile-an-hour curveball, 91-mile-an-hour fastball. He knows how to pitch. He's a surgeon, kind of like Greg Maddux was. Maddux wasn't overpowering. He could throw at 93, 94. Daniel Lynch has to trust his stuff, and he doesn't. And why isn't that? Why is that? And I believe the Royals need to clean house, which leads to the next part of this conversation. The Royals' final game is today. Against the Guardians at 3:10 this afternoon, Jonathan Heasley's on the hill. He's had a few starts that have been pretty good. He's a younger pitcher. ERA's still at 5. 4-9 is his record. many people believe that the Royals, after today, should go ahead and fire Matheny, Eldred, and the whole staff and start from scratch. And I would not disagree with that. But I'll tell you that one guy has to go. It has to be the pitching coach. Mm-hmm. Cal Eldred has to go. Cal Eldred has not made any pitcher better, unless you want to claim Singer. And that is, Cal Eldred is so brilliant that he and Dayton Moore and the Royals organization had him in the bullpen to start the year, and then later said he's too talented to be in the bullpen. I'm like, dear Lord, are you arguing with yourself? Make up your decision here. Which is it? He either is not good enough and you put him in the bullpen, or suddenly he is good enough and you're wasting his talent, which is on you. Nobody else made you do it. So Cal Eldred's not getting the best out of these pitchers. We've seen a few of these pitchers go to the minors and figure some things out and come back and do better.
Singer's the top of that list.
Singer's the top of that list.
And Bubich went to the minors and came back, and that's when he had that stretch of where he was really good, and now he stayed and then got bad again.
Absolutely.
Cal Eldred cannot
be on this team next year. He cannot be the pitching coach. He cannot be. And if he is, Royals people, Royals fans should just go ahead and cancel all their season tickets. That'd be embarrassing. If you're going to fire Dayton Moore, you have to fire Cal Eldred. If you're going to go all the way and fire the president of operations, Dayton Moore, after he led you to a World Series, and Cal Eldred hadn't led the Royals to nothing, Cal Eldred's got to be gone, and I think he's gone today. And there's a chance Mike Matheny's gone either after today's game or later this week. But I don't think the Royals will have the same manager, and I don't think they'll have the same pitching coach, and I think they are going to start from scratch, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, there might be like an outlier of a guy that played for the Royals that's on the staff that'll keep his position or something like that. Right. But those main guys, it's time, I feel like, and I know your question is always is who you going to get to replace him. But I'm at the point kind of like where I was with Bruce Weber, right? Like, anybody can do better than this right now. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody's going to put more effort into it. And I'm not saying that Mike Matheny's not putting effort into
it. I would say if they brought Matheny back, I'm not going to scream as many other people because he's kind of had his hands tied behind his back. But if you bring back your same staff, like, you know, Scott Frost, he had to make changes to come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Matheny has to make changes. Yeah, exactly. You got to get rid of some of your coaches.
Yeah, and I think Matheny's done a good job of actually keeping these guys confident and trying to keep their spirits up, right? I think he's a good coach, a good manager for that, and he's done some good things, but in the end, it still comes down to, are you winning games?
Right.
And they lost at a rate that is not even close to acceptable this year with what they should have had, with what we thought they had and what they could have or should have been.
And a big reason why they didn't get to that is because the pitching didn't come around,
absolutely.
And that goes back to Cal Eldred.
And if you're going to go ahead and make the move with Dayton Moore, you just might as well go ahead and clear the manager spot too, because the new guy is going to want his people in there. So,
well, JJ Piccolo is still there. He's not a new guy. He's the GM now, full fledged. There's one less guy in the pecking chain. So JJ Piccolo is familiar with Matheny. That's why Matheny has a chance to stay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm all for him making a change.
I don't think he's going to stay, but there is that chance because Piccolo's been with the team for so long.
But there cannot be a chance that Cal Eldred comes back, can there?
No,
that has to be a no-brainer.
So. My whole thing was like, you fired Terry Bradshaw as a hitting coach in the middle of the season.
Right.
Like, what? Why was Cal safe? Like, I didn't understand that.
I still don't,
because it's still like, well, yeah, we got to keep some kind of consistency, probably is in their mind. And it's like, well, okay, but you got to keep consistency all the way around if you're going to have that kind of attitude toward it.
Well, there was consistency. None of these pitchers developed except Singer. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so it's just to kind of break down the Royals. If they're going to be really good in the next couple of years, they've got to fix their pitching staff. And that starts with, in my opinion, you have to have a new leader when it comes to pitching, and you need a new pitching coach, without a question. And the numbers bear it out. Cal Eldred's numbers with the Royals are horrible and pitiful. The staff ERAs and everything else, the walks, the not, like, I think Daniel Lynch is an epitome of the failure of Cal Eldred. Get up 0-2, and then you nibble, and then you get too fine, and you don't trust just going after a guy. And I'm not saying it's just Daniel Lynch and Cal Eldred. There's other teams that do this. All right, Cubs up there, Jason Broadfoot. Cubs finishing strong. Going to avoid 90 losses.
Yeah, we're going to go with the Wiener Circle. I know we've done it once before, but I just want to get that last place. And I think it's where I want to go work at some point in my life.
The Wiener Circle?
It's famous for it late night on the weekends. There's mutual verbal abuse between the staff and the customers. I went once.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. There was a Brewers fan in front of me. There was a guy with the saggy pants behind me. So I got kind of caught they kind of missed me a little bit, but they were giving those customers a hard time. It sounds like a fun place to work, and the Cubs lost 3-2, and that allows the Reds to not lose 100 games this season.
That was nice of the Cubs.
Yeah, the Cubs did more than their share of not letting the Reds lose less than 100 games this year.
Well done, Cubbies. Not only are they, you know, seem like a decent fan base and they've got cool colors and a nice baseball field, but they're nice to their opponents. That's lovely. Lovely. Yeah. All right, last night, the Braves get it done.
In the air right. Ronald is there, and the Braves have won East.
For the fifth straight season, the Braves win the National League East. And the Braves not only win the division, but now they wrap up the number two seed in National League playoffs. You know how many days this season the Braves led? You know how many days they were in first place this year?
Just here recently, this last couple days.
Man, I think you could early in the year, but
I'm going to say 12.
I'm going to say like 5. I'm going to say that.
Well played. 6. The Braves have led all of just 6 days of the season. That means the Mets led 170 days of the season. At one point, they had a 10.5 game lead in the division. And it's not like the Mets have collapsed. The Braves right now are 70. They're in the midst of a 78-33 stretch. 78 wins, insane. 33 losses, which, believe this or not, that's the best record in baseball over that time. And we're talking about the Dodgers being unbelievable,
right,
too.
Yeah.
The last two playoff seeds have been decided as well. So here is the playoff matchups, all right? And it is different this year. And I'm kind of excited about seeing this myself because I didn't like the one-game wild card where, you know, one ace starter can shut you down and single-handedly lead you. And the Pirates are like, well, glad we have this now. And I was thinking about this when the Royals were down 7-3 in the eighth inning when I was watching it in 2014 going, this stinks. We finally make it, and it's going to last all of 3 hours.
When your team's in it, you hate it.
Yes.
But I've learned to like it when my team's not in it.
Yes.
But
as long as it's game seven.
As long as it's one team to get into the last spot in the playoffs, I kind of liked it, unless the Cubs were in it. And I hated it.
Of course.
But I'm interested to see how this works. I'm a little leery about the teams that have to sit for a while. I don't know if that's a day off is fine, but anything longer than that, I don't know. That's kind of scary. Or I'd be scared if I was one of the teams that had to sit for a long time anyway.
No, I get that. I think that is going to be that's why I'm intrigued by this new system. Is how is it going to affect the teams that get some time off? Is it going to be a gigantic benefit that we're going to, because it's something new we've never dealt with before in Major League Baseball. Is it going to be something that really benefits the top seeds, or will it be what we see in the NFL sometimes? Oh, you get a week off and then you cruise into week 17 and you guys don't play a lot because you got it wrapped up and basically you have two byes in a way, 2 weeks off before you play, and then you see this team coming off an emotional win. Like the Bengals last year, going in and beating Tennessee, right? Happens all the time. Ravens the year before. We've seen it happen to the Chiefs before, too. The Packers, it's happened to. So here's the American League. The Astros, the best team in the American League. The Yankees are the 2 seed. And then the Mariners, the wild card series, will be at Toronto. Tampa Bay is the bottom seed, the 6th seed. They'll be at Cleveland. All right? And the wild card series is 3 games, all in the same ballpark with no travel. So the Guardians, they get all 3 games in Cleveland against the Rays. Toronto gets all 3 games in Canada against Seattle. There will be no reseeding. So the winner of the Rays-Guardians series will face the Yankees. And the Mariners-Blue Jays winner heads to Houston. You okay with not reseeding it?
Yeah, I like it because the thing is, the 1 seed, no matter what, they know they don't have to take on a division winner, right? But I mean, I know, like the NFL, you'd probably rather play that 6th seed, but at the same time, I like it. Just keep it as simple as you can to keep the thing moving, right?
Okay. The National League, the byes, the Dodgers have 110 wins, might have 111, one more game to go. The Braves have 101 wins, they might have 102. They're the 2 seed. They get byes. Of course, those are the 2 that met in the NLCS last year. Wild card series is the Padres, the 5 seed against the Mets, the 4. And the Mets get home field advantage. The Mets had 11 more wins than the Padres. The Mets won 100 games and didn't win their division. That's a bummer, no doubt. The Cardinals winning their division, they have 93 wins. They're the 3 seed, so they're the higher seed than the Mets. and they'll take on the Phillies. So once again, we talked about this in the NFL before, and boy, we got Dusty riled up one time about that, where you get home field despite having a worse record because you won the division. The division means more. And then you're a wild card because you get punished for being in a division with another great team. And I'm still not a big fan of this. I think the Mets should be the 3 seed and the Cardinals should be the 4. But I do understand that you want to reward the division. If you don't reward the division, then what's the point of winning the division other than making the playoffs?
Yeah, and it was that way before the new system too, right? The top three teams, even if the four seed with the wild card had a better record, would be in a wild card.
We saw that with the Giants and Dodgers last year.
And so they're kind of keeping that consistency on that, which is good. But I still don't like it, right? I don't like the fact that you won 106 games last year if you're the Dodgers and you had to play a wild card game.
Here is that every division winner won at least 91 games. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a division winner that was 84-78, of thing. So the Phillies will be at the Cardinals in the best 2 out of 3. So the Cardinals and Mets will host all 3 of those games in this wild card series. And then the Padres-Mets winner will go to L.A. Man, that's a tough draw for the Dodgers.
It absolutely is.
And then the Phillies-Cardinals will get the Braves. I mean, if you're the Braves, you're like, I'd rather be the 2 seed.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Because the Dodgers thing is like the Mets are so good. And then even if the Padres win, it's a team that knows everything about you, right? Like, and can know your tendencies and things like that. So, yeah, I know the Phillies could know about the Braves too, but I'm not concerned about. I don't think the Phillies are going to beat the Cardinals, but that's personal opinion. But I'd rather have the Cardinals than either one of those teams if I was the.
Agreed.
The Braves.
Individual game times haven't been assigned yet, but we do know all 4 of the wildcard series will be played Friday, Saturday, if necessary. The clinching game 3 would be played on Sunday. So the soonest that the teams of buys would play would be Monday. So they would have, they play today, they'd have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they have at least 4 days off. Mm-hmm. Which is not a horrible thing.
No, I don't think it's going to have the impact that it might in football.
I mean, agree. I think it's
actually
going to help you
a lot. Go out and do your routine of batting practice and do all that stuff on those days off. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it sets your rotation up perfectly. You don't have to worry about any of that.
Yeah.
Like, you can set it up how you want if you're one of those top 2 seeds. And I think you play enough baseball that if you just keep yourself loose that – baseball is just a different sport from that aspect, from a lot of different aspects.
Right. No, I agree with you. I was going to see for sure. The division series start October 11th. I don't have October pulled up on the calendar. What's October 11th? That would be Tuesday. So you're going to have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 5 days off. 5 days off. The 11th is a Tuesday. So 5 days off. So if you're the Braves, the Dodgers, the Astros, Yankees, you get 5 days off after you complete your season today. I don't think that's that bad a thing in baseball. I really don't.
No, like I said, just go out and go through your motions, do your batting practice.
It helps your pitching fielding, stuff a lot, I think.
100%. That's the biggest thing. It's why I think the positives definitely outweigh the negatives.
And the wear and tear that these teams are going to play, not playing one wild card, but playing possibly 3.
And then
traveling.
If you're playing 3 games, and that's messing up their rotation too, while yours is perfectly set up to get ready to go.
And for people that say, well, that doesn't seem fair, to me, the top teams should have the bigger advantage.
Absolutely.
I've never liked it where, hey, you go all year long, you win 110 or 112, 114 games like the Mariners 1 year, 116, and Dodgers won, 106, and the Giants 107, and you got 1 game advantage against another team from home field. Bob Costas said it before, and I don't agree with Bob Costas on everything. He was wrong on the wild cards, by the way, way back. But I do agree with him that if you're the number 1 seed, why do you only get 1 game more at home? I mean, if you're playing a best of 7, shouldn't 5 of those 7 be at home? Mm-hmm. And I would agree. I think that stuff, I would agree with that. And so they kind of implemented that with the wild card series is that, hey, you know, one, it shortens the schedule by no travel.
Yeah.
That helps. So we're going to go a 2 out of 3, but the higher seed gets all 3 at home. It's a 3-game series like a regular season, except you got to win 2 out of 3 to move on. So I'm okay with that. So who's going to be in the World Series, guys? Let's make the predictions. We know who's going to be in it in regards to the tournament now. 12 teams are still alive. Okay, let's go through this. Mariners, Blue Jays, who you like?
I'm going to pick the Blue Jays in that one.
I'll go Blue Jays.
Okay, I'll go Blue Jays. I'd love to see the Mariners do it, though.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be cheering for the Mariners, yeah.
Rays and Guardians.
I like the Rays there.
Rays.
Wow, interesting. Okay. So you're all saying the Rays will go to Houston, and Toronto will be in New York. Andrew Benintendi will have to play a playoff game in Toronto. Good thing he's getting – and oh, yeah, Whit Merrifield got backs too.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
How about that? I am happy for Whit Merrifield. After all the things he's – the wrong way he said those things, of course, got him traded. But I am happy he's getting to be in the playoffs. So who wins the American League? Astros?
I kind of think so.
I do. Their pitching's better than the
right.
Yankees.
They've been steady all year, and Berlin they haven't had the awesome ups and downs that the Yankees had.
So the cheaters of Houston.
Yeah.
That bang trash cans to get advantages.
Right.
I'm going to pick the Yankees just to be different.
Okay. Nobody's going to take the Blue Jays or the Rays, huh?
No.
The Rays tend to step
it
up.
I know.
All right. So we're going Houston. He's going Yankees. All right. National League, Padres, Mets. Man, that's a great series. Two out of three.
No, I'm going to pick the Padres.
I am too.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. The Padres don't have their closer hasn't, Hader hasn't been that great. Yeah. That could cost him. Matt's got Diaz with all the trumpets glaring at the end of the
game. I went against my American, like when we did this earlier and picked, you know.
I'll go Mets. I'll switch my mind. I'll go Mets. What are you gonna do?
I'll stick with Padres.
Okay. See, I at least did something different. Phillies at Cardinals. We're all going to pick Cardinals.
Cardinals.
I'm going Phillies.
You're going to go Phillies to be different?
Just to be different.
All right. Dodgers, Braves, whatever we picked. Who do we think wins the National League? I'm going to say the Braves again.
I for some reason, have this gut feeling the Cardinals are going to get there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know why.
That means the Cardinals would knock off the Braves in the divisional series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Who you like, Jason?
I think I'm going to go Braves, pretty much kind of along the same reasons with the Astros. I just think the Braves have been playing better, although the Braves have had a higher high than the Astros have had. But I think the Braves are just playing too well right now.
I got the Braves winning it all back to back. I can't believe I'm saying that. But
yeah.
I mean, the Braves get through, then they play the Astros, who they beat last year. Wasn't the Braves beat the Astros? So we'd have a repeat, Braves-Astros, if that's the World Series. Okay, I should change my pick. That just doesn't happen. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, it usually doesn't.
And the Dodgers-Astros just a few years ago. I mean, honestly, the Yankees being in, which would be different. Yankees haven't won a World Series in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What team do you want to see win it? In the American League, I want to see the winner of Seattle-Toronto win it all in the American League.
I think I'd like to see Seattle win.
Yeah,
like to,
I'm with
listen, I know.
The reason I say Toronto is because I like Whit yet. I still like Whit.
Yeah, and Toronto's a lot longer ago than we think. It's like they've won one right. And I'm like, that was in the early 90s, which I still think is like 10 or 15 years ago, but it was 32.
You're talking about how we get older and realize, oh my gosh, that was longer than
but
we thought.
It's like if you've seen it in your lifetime, it doesn't feel like it's been that long ago, but I'd like to see the Mariners there.
If the Mariners making it gets us shots of Ken Griffey Jr. and Randy Johnson in the box seats and stuff, like, yeah, let's do that. But
so we're all pulling for the Mariners?
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. Who are we pulling for in the National League?
Actually, the Phillies. I just want to see Bryce Harper do well in the playoffs once.
I like the Braves out of those teams, so I'll pull for the Braves. I think they do it the right way. They're pretty classy. The Padres got a lot of talent. The Mets, I don't like any New York team. The Cardinals, it's still Royals. I'm a Royals fan, so I don't want to see the Cardinals win a World Series, although I do like to see. I want Pujols to do well, by the way. The Phillies, I don't even care about. And the Dodgers are, you know, in a way I feel kind of sorry for the Dodgers because they have all the success and don't have as many titles to show for it. But then again, the Braves went 11 years straight with a division title and only had one title.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to lose my sleep over the Dodgers. But a lot of people think the Dodgers are just going to go ahead and win this whole thing, and they very well could. I'll say Braves and Astros a repeat. But which team are we cheering for in the National League? I say Braves. You
by
say
the same
Phillies?
Philosophy
Phillies.
Of yeah. the
Who do you
Mariners,
want? You
I'm
want?
Picking the Padres.
Padres,
because
okay.
they've just not it's not been there.
Dusty's
for
all about the five seed.
How and I, you know, and I, we talk about wanting to see different things, and so you know, those are two teams that have never won. So
that's true. I'm all for that. All right, we wrap up the show. It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Well, we mentioned this yesterday, but we'll repeat it in case you missed it, that K-State had a couple of Big 12 honorees, Dusty.
Yes, Khalid Duke was the Defensive Player of the Week for K-State in the Big 12, and also Adrian Martinez was the Newcomer of the Week in the Big 12 the week after he'd won the Offensive Player of the Week.
When you beat good teams and you do well, you get recognized, and that's what we're seeing with K-State and KU right now. K-State will be against Iowa State in Ames coming up on Saturday night, and that's obviously a big game. And Chris Klieman, you know, I talked the other day about KU was on SportsCenter for like 5 minutes. Jalen Daniels being interviewed on SportsCenter. Well, guess what? Chris Klieman, head coach of K-State, was on SportsCenter yesterday, and he was asked about the fit of Adrian Martinez with K-State and their program.
I think the bond he had with Colin Klein, our offensive coordinator, and Colin carried the rock pretty well himself when he played. And you know, some of the things that even Colin did in college, we're doing with Adrian. Having the ability to have another impact player in the backfield with him in Deuce has been helpful. And I still think we're going to see the best of our offense in the throw game in the coming weeks, because between Malik Knowles, Phillip Brooks, and Cade Warner, and some tight ends, we have some explosive guys on the perimeter that people are going to try to stack the box to play the run. We've got to be able to throw the football.
No doubt about that. 6:30, K-State at Iowa State. K-State ranked 20th in the country. And the K-State volleyball team is 10-6 overall, 1-2 in Big 12 play. As they, in their last matches, they swept Iowa State this past weekend. Prior to that, they had lost four straight matches to Rice, then the Creighton, who's ranked, and then KU. They lost in five sets and lost at Texas Tech. So off to a bit of a slow start as a K-State volleyball team. Of course, K-State and KU volleyball team did very well last year, made it to NCAA tournament. And so that's a quick look at K-State athletics. Hang with Tang. They move in the purple couch to another location. Was it the Kramer Dining Center or Complex or whatever they were talking about yesterday? I think I saw on social media.
Yeah, I saw it indoors.
It needs to be setting up right outside Call Hall. I'm telling you, that's a perfect place to be. I told Smuller that the other day. Like, I told Smuller, like, where would you set up your purple couch on campus? And he gave me a couple answers, and I said, well, dude, that's easy. Call Hall. You can just sit there and promote the Call Hall and eat ice cream for free.
Yeah.
It'll bring people there. That's what Coach Tang needs to do. I don't know if Tang, he might just like Tang instead of ice cream. I don't know.
That's
He's
true.
Jerome Tang. Pretty cool stuff. I think it's a great idea. That purple couch thing's funny. Have you seen
those
videos?
Yeah, it is.
He's such an infectious personality.
He
I love
is.
To
so,
meet
like,
him.
He was rolling around in a golf cart. I think the big dude, I can't remember his name now, Coach Bourne was driving this golf cart last time I was at the K-State game. That was the two-lane game. And just talking to everybody and taking pictures and just a smile on his face the whole time. And it's just like, yeah, man, it feels too good to be true right now, but you got to go out and win still.
Yeah, you still
got to go out and perform. And he's in the biggest of honeymoon periods after K-State basketball's been through.
Yeah.
And he's going to find out real quick, though, if it doesn't go the right way for him on the court.
I'm not saying Jerome Tang is the next Ron Prince. I'm not saying that at all. But I remember when Ron Prince came on, there was a honeymoon period. He said all the right things. He was the perfect salesman. And we know the train wreck that became. So I think this is different. I think Tang is, considering where he's coming from and who he coached with and everything else and knowing the Big 12, I think it's a home run hire. I said it when he was hired, the day he was hired. I think it's a home run hire for K-State. And I think they're going to do just fine this year. And I think they're going to take a major step up. Just like KU football has taken a major step up. And I think it's great for the rivalry. Be terrific for KU and K-State.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody threw it out there yesterday. They said KU and K-State football, last game of the regular season in Manhattan, could very well be for the Big 12 title. Or could determine one or two going to the Big 12 title game. How insane would that
if
be?
Things go this,
we're starting to dream, aren't we?
If things go right this weekend, I'll start to believe.
You're going to start to believe?
I'll start to fully dive in.
I'll tell you
that.
Something. TCU's offense is legitimate, and KU's offense got to be a lot better than it was last week. So this is a tough game KU's got this weekend, and people don't realize it because if TCU was called Oklahoma, KU would have no chance in this game, honestly. Seriously, based on what's happened. But it's TCU, so it's not as well known. And then K-State going to Iowa State is never easy for K-State. I mean, K-State usually beats Iowa State or finds a way. But up in Ames, they've had a few problems, obviously, over the years. And Iowa State's defense is outstanding. It's probably it is the best defense K-State's faced all year long.
Yeah. To get one of the two in, so, I think. I'll things go right this weekend.
If they both win, you're going to buy into that idea?
I'll buy into that. That's a real possibility.
Which means that since I brought all this up, that's a kiss of death, and both teams are going to lose, and they're going to get smothered and blown out. Perfect. 10:13 is our time, 59 degrees. High school locker room chats today.
Yeah, again, we talked with the coaches of Beloit Osborne Smith Center in Thunder Ridge tonight at 5:15. Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com.
Awesome. Our focus on KC Athletics, as always, on Wednesday, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.